Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
A couple changes raised our crush forecast, 20 million bushels. That is reflecting strong domestic soybean meal consumption as well as strong U.S. meal exports.
That's the chairman of USDA's World Ag Outlook Board, Dr. Mark Jekinowski, on the June WASD report.
On the other hand, our export forecast, we lowered by the same amount, 20 million bushels, and that largely just reflects a revision in data revision, census trade revision for the first 4 months of the marketing year, so September through December.
And again, breaking down the report, leaving corn and beans mostly steady, but tightening the wheat outlook and splitting the livestock picture between beef and pork. Report gives producers a mostly stable row crop balance sheet with sharper signals in the wheat and meat markets. Now, U.S. wheat production cut by 18 million bushels, 1.543 billion, mostly due to smaller hard red winter wheat output. Ending stocks falling 744 million bushels while the price drops to $6. Now, corn virtually unchanged, farm price holding 440, soybean supply use and price projections unchanged, season average prices steady at 1140. Cotton ending stocks reduced due to a 200,000 bale cut from the prior year. New crop production use and trade unchanged, projected farm price steady, 73 cents. And beef production lowered as steer, heifer, and cow slaughter slow, though heavier weights offset part of the decline. Pork production slightly higher on heavier dressed weights. Again, USDA lowering beef exports in the second quarter, but raising pork exports on stronger recent shipments. Farm credit system remains financially sound, but credit risk is rising as tougher farm and economic conditions pressure some producers. Farm Credit Administration Board received the update at its June 11th meeting. The system reported stable earnings, stronger capital for the quarter ending March 31st, total capital reaching $86.4 billion, up 7.3% from a year earlier. Now, loan quality remains solid overall, but stress indicators increased. Non-performing assets increasing to 1.09% of loans outstanding and other property owned, compared with less than 1% a year earlier. Broader farm economy, though, remains mixed. FCA says the Middle East conflict driving energy volatility and inflation pressure, while consumer spending weakens and loan delinquencies rise. Net farm income expected to decline this year, though federal support will keep it above average. USDA updating the Natural Resources Conservation Service's priorities to keep conservation more directly tied to working farms, ranches, and private land. The agency says the changes reaffirm voluntary, locally led conservation for producers. And President Trump reopening commercial fishing access in parts of three Pacific Marine National Monuments. It's creating new opportunities for U.S. fishermen and seafood supply chains. The White House says the proclamation covers nearly 500,000 square miles. It's Agriculture Today.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is Agriculture Today.
I really get excited to talk about the effort that's going on right now at USDA, and we're calling the effort One Farmer, One File, and it means a lot of different things, but I think from a modernization standpoint, it is, you know, we're looking at the IT systems that support these agencies within the mission areas.
Deputy Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation at USDA, Richard Fordyce.
Under our purview here in the Undersecretary's office is FSA, RMA, and NRCS. And, you know, if a farmer goes in and engages with FSA, and then maybe, you know, a few weeks later they engage with NRCS, and certainly they've got a crop insurance agent that they work with, we're probably asking them to sign eligibility forms and things that are probably very similar. And so, number one, at the very top of the list, it's, can we consolidate forms? Can we make that engagement more streamlined, less time? And so there's that. We also have some policy considerations to think about. Are we doing things just because we've been doing them for 20 or 30 years, or are they necessary, or can we eliminate some of the steps and some of the kind of the regulatory burden that folks have to undergo to interact with our agencies? But the one that's the most exciting, I think, to me is this IT modernization, and they all really go hand in hand. But we have systems, within all three of the agencies that are old. They were stood up probably for a singular reason to implement a program at some point. And because we have to have access to that data, those systems still exist, and they're still, I call them, on life support. But even the systems that we use every day to do acreage reporting and other things, are slow, and they require a lot of like individual data entry by our folks, the program analysts in the office. And so a complete end-to-end IT modernization where we're going to be able to decommission a lot of these old systems, literally operate on one singular platform that RMA plugs into, that NRCS plugs into, and that FSA plugs into. You know, I heard it described the other day, you know, if you're working on a conservation project at NRCS, you know, we've got humans in the building that have to run paper files back and forth from one office to another just to initiate the application. And those days will be coming to an end once we've kind of finalized this IT modernization. But the big one that I'm super excited about is our acreage reporting modernization. Right now that's a very cumbersome process. If you do it at FSA, it takes a lot of time. It takes the farmer a lot of time to do it. It takes the program analyst that works there in the office a long time to do it. We're modernizing that, putting it on a geospatial mapping layer. It's going to have some really cool features, as we continue to implement new phases of this. We are using it in some counties for this spring. Not every county is going to have access to it, but we hope to, by August, have every county, in the country that will be using the new acreage reporting system. And so for fall-seeded crops, all of those acreage reports will go through the new system, and then certainly in spring of 2027, very excited that everyone will have access to the new acreage reporting. It is slick. And then our final phase on acreage reporting, Tony, is we're going to be able to import precision ag data. So all of that data that's being captured while folks are out farming, planting crops, as they're doing it or when they're finished, you can literally upload that data from your precision ag technology and report your acres.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
It's absolutely not a food safety issue. So if you're a consumer of American beef, yeah, you're good. You can certainly, it's much like avian influenza with poultry and eggs. It's devastating on the animals, on the producers, but from a food safety perspective, it's not an issue.
Ben Cleavy with StoneX.
The consequences in the immediate term for producers are that there's just more costs around management of the herd. So, you have to spend more time, more money on monitoring each individual animal. That risk is seen more in kind of the early part of the chain. So cow-calf producers, where basically your cattle are grazing over, a vast area. It's easier to do so when animals are more concentrated. So the feedlots that cows go to ahead of slaughter, that's easier, but it's still, still expensive. There are treatments as well that they may be buying, mm-hmm. either on a prophylactic manner or a post-infestation manner. One of them that unfortunately everybody knows about is ivermectin, the drug that a bunch of Rhodes scholars here in the U.S. thought would be appropriate for a COVID treatment. That's what it's actually for, is yeah. for antiparasitics in mammals like cattle. So, you're spending more money, more time on biosecurity protocols. That certainly is an issue right now for the direct input costs, and then potentially risk down the road here if exports become an issue. When this was first detected in Mexico, like a year and a half ago, something like that, the U.S. and Mexican border was shut down. So cattle usually will cross the border a couple of times here throughout their life, and that process was stopped. It's kind of a similar dynamic now, but across states, or even within states. So the locations that have had outbreaks have very small radiuses where the animals are quarantined. There are certain states that have banned Texas cattle from entering, like Georgia just did it recently. Canada has banned the import of live animals from Texas as well. So movement restrictions right now are certainly happening. I think are only going to be increasing. So it certainly is an issue right now in the industry. So this was one of the many drivers of the elevated beef prices over the past year or so. There's a lot to that, but that this was already considered within the market. So, actually the prices of cattle have actually gone down since this outbreak hit the U.S. I mean, by about this much, but this is not something that was unexpected. So this certainly is a risk. So if this does become a more widespread outbreak, that probably isn't priced in right now. So it certainly could increase the cost of beef to the cattle producing complex, and then also obviously to the consumer then eventually.
There is a focus on the beef industry, but what about dairy?
So beef and dairy certainly are both impacted. It's a bit different impact. And one of the interesting things is that beef has a little bit more kind of elasticity in the supply chain. If you have a quarantine in a facility, you can keep your cattle on feed longer. You can keep them on pasture longer. But if you have a quarantine of your dairy industry, you can't stop a dairy cow from producing milk. And so if you're quarantined and cows are producing every day, that milk basically must be dumped. The dairy supply chain is shockingly efficient. And so any small disruption, has really significant residual effects, excuse me. And a lot of people think about like Wisconsin, California, upstate New York being big dairy producing areas. Texas is a top 10 producer. Arizona, New Mexico on the Mexican border also are pretty notable producers. So the rest of the dairy industry is very real. And particularly because dairy prices have been moving up this year, even without an impact yet from this outbreak.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
For an agency that's over 90 years old that's had adjustments from time to time, it's always good to kind of dust off the strategic priorities and the motto and how we hold ourselves in alignment to the American producers.
Rolling out a new motto, mission statement, and vision statement for the Natural Resources Conservation Service, Chief Colton Buckley.
I'm very excited that we are announcing that our new motto is keeping working lands in working hands. My top priority as chief, all the way down to our local county office level, should be about tools, training, technology that we can support the American farmer, rancher, private landowner in prioritizing their ability to stay on the American landscape and keep those working lands working in family hands forever. So we're really excited about the motto, keeping working lands in working hands, and then readjusting our mission statement where we're laser focused in providing and delivering practical, voluntary, and locally led conservation solutions that help producers conserve natural resources, strengthen agricultural production, and keep working lands productive for generations to come. For folks like us, this is simple. We're getting NRCS back to its core mission and driving forward through our time here at the agency, making sure that everything we do falls under one lens, what's best for the American producer.
NRCS also updating its strategic priorities, and Buckley explains.
Shifting to outcome-based conservation and farmer empowerment. As an agency of our size in the executive branch, it's our job to serve the taxpayer and the American producer in a voluntary way, a non-regulatory. And so we've got tools like the Conservation Innovation Grants or EQIP, CSP, RCPP, and other programs where producers should be able to get out of a farmer ranch truck, cross into a government-owned release threshold, and ask for help. And they should receive sound and stellar technical service and advice from experts in the field, our local field staff, as well as have the opportunity to apply for cost share or other programmatic assistance to drive their own private investment further on their privately owned property.
Buckley says in all, seven priorities.
Preserve and protect agricultural land is my top priority. As you and your audience likely knows, we lose on average 5,000 acres a day of working farm or ranch land in the continental United States. 2,000 of that 5,000 is prime farmland, 1,020 acres a day in Texas alone. Texas is the hotbed, my home state, the secretary's home state. And so we've got to focus on reducing the loss of productive working lands and safeguard the long-term viability of America's agricultural landscapes that are in privately held lands. There's a lot of opportunities for that. Obviously, we've got the ACEP ALE, Agriculture Conservation Easement Program, Agricultural Land Easement is the program to support producers in keeping their property in a voluntary conservation easement held with a land trust, not held with the government, to support its longevity in being working land. But also coming in and looking at our EQIP practices, to enhance on that, our conservation stewardship program. And even aside from the programmatic assistance we've got, the technical assistance that producers can voluntarily get from our dedicated field staff or partner in the conservation realm, I think is really key.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
The planting season is right around the corner. You can't afford to be down when it's time to go. Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, can get your equipment ready for the season and keep you running. We also have a great selection of new and used planters for the upcoming season. Depend on Wiley's 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Find us at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
This is Agriculture Today.
Argentina up a couple million tons, Brazil up 3. That was really the biggest surprise there at 138. That's an all-time high for both countries, right?
Mike Castle is senior economist with StoneX.
Kind of the more, I guess, interesting to me as someone who kind of covers these markets and is really a numbers person in general, you can see this change in world corn production of 14 million tons. That was really interesting to see. That's obviously a massive jump from one month to another. You see how anomalous that is to, you know, past years. And again, looking at that 25-26 marketing year, this is just comparing May to June changes in world corn production on this report going back to the 11-12 marketing year. And again, you can see how much bigger that is than normal. Also a 5 million ton uptick on 26-27, our new crop world corn production that you see on the right there. So again, that combined South America jump, 2 in Argentina, 3 in Brazil, that's 5 million tons. So where's that other 9 coming from? And interestingly, it was India, not exactly the first place that's going to come to our mind in these reports. Obviously a major ag country that grows an extremely wide range of commodities. Obviously now with the world's biggest population, they got to feed the most people. So they do have this massive ag sector. But India is not someone that USDA actually publishes individually on their WASDE report, so these are kind of harder to notice changes. So I think that kind of caught a lot of folks by surprise, maybe wondering where that big jump came from. Again, it kind of dwarfs those increases that you see in Brazil and Argentina that were kind of the main headlines. Also, Paraguay, not listed on there explicitly, but they saw an 800,000 met ton uptick. Mexico down a little bit to offset this, but the net of those changes you see in that chart, right around that 14 million metric ton mark. That puts India's corn production for 25-26 above 55 million tons, which, as you can see, just going back the last 20 plus years here, easily a new all-time high for Indian corn production. USDA also raised their 26-27 production estimate by 5 million tons to now sit at 52 million. So again, that, you know, if it weren't for the big uptick in 25-26, would have been a new all-time high. But that's really a big step change in corn production. And you can see that's kind of been happening in these last few years. And a big part of why that is that, you know, we're seeing a lot more ethanol demand in India. Back in 2018, they adopted their national policy on biofuels. They wanted to target getting the E20, that's 20% ethanol in their gasoline, by 2030. They achieved that 5 years early in last year, and it kind of begs the question, will we see more policy support for this moving forward? They've got sugarcane-based ethanol as well, right? Again, they produce a very wide range of stuff, but you are seeing, again, growing demand on the corn side of things, the importance of diversifying their ethanol sources. It's kind of similar to you know what we've seen in Brazil, their own growing domestic corn-based ethanol industry, and there is a lot of policy support in the ag sector in India. And one thing that's, you know, kind of worth pointing out with this too, you know, while they don't get as much attention on the grain side, as someone who covered the fertilizer markets for several years, India is a major, major player, right? And the thing that's important to point out, you know, a lot of talk on the corn and wheat, you know, your more nitrogen intensive crops this year, is the concern that this fertilizer spike could, you know, impact production. And that's true in a lot of places, but India, the farmer does not see the actual price, right? They're not seeing these movements in global prices like we do here in the States or elsewhere around the world. There is a maximum retail price that you're allowed to sell to the farmer. So the importer sees those price changes. The farmer does not. So that's very inelastic demand for nitrogen there. They fertilize very heavily, and that does support their ability to produce corn moving forward here.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today, purplewave.com.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
So NRCS is one of the, you've mentioned our two sister agencies. NRCS is the third sister agency in the FPAC Farm Production and Conservation Mission Area, which Undersecretary Fordyce leads.
It's the Chief of the Natural Resources Conservation Service, NRCS, at USDA on modernization under the FPAC, Farm Production and Conservation.
And we work hand in hand to make sure that we're transforming NRCS into a digitally agile agency alongside our sister agencies, like you mentioned. What you're going to see in implementing the One Farmer, One File system that Undersecretary Fordyce likely talked about, it's going to streamline data access and reduce duplication from agencies. So no longer will a producer have to wait days or weeks for the Farm Service Agency to be able to transfer a farm number, track number to find someone eligible for an NRCS practice. And no longer will it take days or weeks for a producer that's enrolling in CRP with FSA to get the documentation of the FSA office from NRCS on kind of the technical evaluation. This will all be housed in one digital filing cabinet, so to speak, that the agencies can pull from with a click of a button, cutting down bureaucracy, focusing the staff time that used to be in the office, actually in the field, and providing faster results for the American producer. And then we've got things like the integrated field tool is more of an NRCS specific tool that's being developed that allows when my field staff are out in the pasture at the field edge, they're able to work with a producer in a more efficient and effective manner to develop a conservation plan to focus on key priorities that may be going on in an operation. And by leaving the farm that same day, those documents will be populated and uploaded for a producer to sign off on, agreeing to engage with NRCS in the practice.
One of the strategic priorities under NRCS, wildlife conservation and outdoor access.
Expanding wildlife conservation and outdoor access through voluntary conservation efforts that support rural communities and respect private property rights, I think, are really key. I mean, we look in Texas specifically. You look at some of the rural communities in South Texas whose economy is infused during dove or deer season. These are opportunities where the conservation crowd from the wildlife aspect and our farming and ranching community can come together and not sit opposite each other, at the fence row, and really get that gate open. And so we can work and reemphasize the work that sportsmen and outdoor recreationalists do to support working lands, because with land leases and other things, aspects of the sort, those outside dollars being infused in rural communities allow those producers diversified income on their operation, and it also supports the rural communities around them that they serve.
And how USDA is attacking New World screwworm.
All agencies are working hand in hand with APHIS as the lead, and you've seen the secretary down in Kerrville earlier this week championing it. And so Undersecretary Fordyce and I are really focused on figuring out how to streamline the impact of things like emergency funding available to Texas and other states. And we should have announcements on this in the coming weeks. So we're looking at the degree of financial and technical assistance and flexibility to support producers in impacted areas.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.